Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question-and-answer session of today's call, you may press star one to ask a question. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'll turn the call over to Mr. Tom Skinner. You may begin, sir.
Thank you, Shirley, and thank you for joining us today for the CDC telebriefing on a vital signs report entitled "Food Categories Contributing to the Most Sodium Consumption, United States, 2007-2008." Today, joining us is the director of the CDC, Dr. Thomas Frieden, who is going to give some opening remarks. And when we get to your questions and answers, we'll also be joined by Janelle Perellas, a public health analyst in our Division of Heart Disease and Stroke Prevention. So I'll turn the call over to Dr. Frieden, who's going to provide some opening remarks, and then we'll get to your questions. Dr. Frieden.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for joining us. Heart disease and stroke are leading causes of death in the United States and are largely dependent on the high rate of high blood pressure. One in three American adults has high blood pressure, and one of the things that's driving our blood pressure up is the fact that most adults in this country eat or drink about twice the amount of sodium as is recommended, and that most of that extra sodium comes from common grocery store and restaurant items, and only a very small proportion comes from the salt shaker at the table. The study that we're releasing today, which is based on a unique data set from the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, finds that 10 types of food are responsible for more than 40% of people's sodium intake. Bread and rolls, luncheon meat such as deli ham or turkey, pizza, poultry, soups, cheeseburgers and other sandwiches, cheese, pasta dishes, meat dishes, snack foods come at the very bottom of that top 10. So potato chips, pretzels, and popcorn, which we think of as the saltiest foods in our diet, are only number 10 in the list of top 10 and only account for about 3% of all of the sodium consumed. 65% of sodium we consume comes from processed food sold in grocery stores, and 25% comes from foods served in restaurants. The average person consumes about 3,300 milligrams of sodium every day, excluding salt added at the table. The United States Dietary Guidelines recommends limiting sodium intake to less than 2,300 milligrams per day and less than 1,500 milligrams per day for everyone over the age of 51, anyone with high blood pressure or diabetes or chronic kidney disease, and all African Americans. That means that nearly 60% of all adults in this country should be consuming 1,500 milligrams or less. That's less than half the amount that we are actually consuming. Excess sodium increases blood pressure, which is a major risk factor for both heart disease and stroke, as well as other health problems. Heart disease and stroke alone kill more than 800,000 Americans each year and contribute an estimated $273 billion a year in health care costs. Reducing the sodium content of the 10 leading sodium sources by just 25% would lower total dietary sodium by more than 10% and prevent an estimated 28,000 deaths per year. Reducing sodium consumption is not easy because it is in so many different foods. People can lower their sodium intake by eating more fresh or frozen fruits and vegetables and by limiting the amount of processed foods that they consume. People can also check grocery nutrition facts panels, the food labels, and choose products lowest in sodium. Reducing sodium across the food supply can increase consumer choice. It's feasible. It can save thousands of lives and billions of dollars in healthcare costs each year. By reducing the amount of sodium in restaurant and processed foods, we can put choice into the consumer's hand. People can choose how much salt to add to their food at the table. They can't take it out once it's there. The mean sodium values for different brands of the same food types vary substantially. For example, a single piece of pizza may vary by as much as 2 or 3-fold between different brands. So consumers can check labels and choose the lower sodium brands, and producers can provide a wider array of lower sodium products and can work to reduce sodium levels across a broad range of foods. Gradual, voluntary reductions in sodium, we believe, are possible and would save billions of dollars and tens of thousands of lives. And I'll stop there and look forward to answering your questions.
Shirley, we're ready for questions, please.
Thank you. At this time, we're ready to begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 and record your name clearly. To withdraw your request, you may press star 2. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. And one moment for our first question. Our first question comes from Evan Brown with Fox News Radio. You may ask your question.
Hi, good morning. This new statistic that we've seen in the emails of 9 out of 10 adults, can you contrast that with last times these studies have been done, and how much of an increase or decrease that may be, and what that really means?
We know that consumption is way too high now. What has done over time is something that we don't have a great handle on, because we don't have these data going back as well as we would like 10 or 20 or 30 years. But we do know that across the entire age spectrum, from young to old, Americans are eating way too much sodium. It's raising their blood pressure, and we know that high blood pressure is a major risk factor for heart attack and stroke.
Next question, Shirley.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Heidi Splee with Internal Medicine News. You may ask your question.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Obviously, reading the labels is a good way to help cut down on sodium. What would be the take-home message for doctors about what else they can do to encourage patients, especially those who are at increased risk in some of these higher-risk groups that you mentioned, to help them cut down?
Physicians can work with nutritionists and other health professionals to help patients understand what the sources of sodium are in their own diets. They may be surprised to find out that their breakfast cereal contains the equivalent of 8 or 10 shakes of salt in it, and may find in cereals, in meals, in snacks, they may find options that have half or less the amount of sodium and taste every bit as good. There are plenty of spices other than sodium that can make food taste great.
Thank you.
You again, if you have a question, press star 1. Our next question comes from Carmel Maloney. You may ask your question.
Oh, thank you. I'm calling from The Daily in New York. I just wanted to ask, what is the most common source of sodium in food? Is it bread and rolls? Is that number 1 on the list?
Yes. If you look at the table 1 of the MMWR, bread and rolls is the leading single source, partly because we eat so much bread and rolls. Cold cuts and cured meats are number 2, and close behind are pizza. If you look at the source of the foods, most of the foods are primarily purchased in stores, with the exception of pizza and sandwiches. Sandwiches are pre-made sandwiches, and pizza is primarily from pizza restaurants or fast food restaurants, as well as other restaurants. And then poultry is about half and half between stores and restaurants. So most of these are from common foods that we consume and that we can choose lower sodium versions of.
So with the bread and rolls and the sandwiches, I wanted to ask you, would you recommend that people stop eating pre-made sandwiches when they're at work?
No, I think the key here is to find lower sodium options of the foods you love.
Thank you.
Next question, Shirley.
Again, if you have a question, press star 1. Our next question comes from Glenn Birkins with QCityMetro.com. You may ask your question.
Yes. This report isn't very encouraging from a standpoint of consumers. It seems just about every food we eat is on the list that's high sodium. So my question is, and perhaps you've touched on it in some ways, other than becoming label readers, what can we do to literally cut down on the amount of sodium we consume without standing in the, you know, looking at labels everywhere we go?
Thank you. Well, first off, all the fresh fruit and fresh vegetables that you eat are going to be very low in sodium. Any frozen fruit or vegetables you eat, if it doesn't have a sauce on it that has a lot of sodium in it, is going to be low sodium. So eating more fruit and vegetables is a really key thing that you can do. You can also, don't have to do it every day, but you can once look at the foods that you consume and then maybe think about whether you want to shift, whether it's the brand of cereal you buy or the kind of soup you eat, or look at whether the meat that you're eating has been so-called enhanced with sodium. There are things that you can do as a one-time shift in your purchasing power. You can ask your grocer to carry more lower-sodium food choices. And I think this can make a big difference. Clearly, increasing your consumption of fruit and vegetables, and although it's challenging because we're all busy, increasing the amount of food you prepare yourself, because when people prepare food themselves, they add much less salt than the average that is in restaurants or grocery stores. So fruit and vegetables, preparing your own food, only about 5 or 6% of all of our sodium comes from what we add in the kitchen, and only about 5 or 6% what we add at the table. So it's not what we're doing. That's why we're so encouraged that companies such as Kraft and Leprino Foods have come out with great-tasting, lower-sodium products across the product line. This shows that it's possible to make real progress, and we're confident that more and more companies will be making those kind of healthier choices available to Americans.
Next question, Shirley.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Monica Ng with Chicago Tribune. You may ask your question.
Hi. Part of my job is to cover the food eaten in Chicago public schools. And in the last couple of years, in the name of sodium reduction, well, they've kept all of their processed foods, but they've stopped salting any of the fresh vegetables. This has led into, from my observations, just a real drop in any kids taking the vegetables, because they've said we will not have a single crystal of salt on those vegetables. Do you think, given that only 6% of our sodium consumption comes from cooking in the kitchen like that, this is a wise move?
You know, school systems can do quite a bit to encourage kids to eat healthy foods. An example is the Let's Move Salad Bars program. It turns out salad bars are really popular with kids. They like to make their own choices. And I think one of the things that many creative school districts are doing across the country is not just assuming what kids are going to like, but trying it and then adjusting what they offer kids based on what kids are actually taking and eating. So I think there are many examples of food, big improvements in school foods. The new USDA regulations, I think, are a big step forward and include a significant reduction in sodium and planned future reductions in sodium that I think will be very important. So school food is an important issue. We did look at it in this report and found it to be about the same as a proportion of the sodium as it was years back. No one entity, not schools, not restaurants, not grocery stores, is going to be able to do this on its own. Reducing sodium is going to require collaboration and increasing choices to put choices into people's hands by gradually reducing sodium in food that has been processed or prepared so that people can salt to taste.
Right. So my question is, do you think that the smartest move is to take all the sodium out of the vegetables and not let kids even shake a little salt on vegetables, or might it be more productive, according to your research, to remove all the processed foods that's just laden with sodium that they're giving the kids, the nachos, the burgers, and the pizza?
We think reducing sodium in processed foods is critically important, and we encourage salting to taste. So we're not saying to take away anybody's salt shaker, quite the opposite. We want people to have the option of adding salt at the table, but fundamentally want to ensure that they've got the options to have low-sodium food by not having that come to the table heavily salted.
Great. Thank you.
Next question, please.
Thank you. At this time, I'm showing no further questions. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, just press star 1 at this time.
Okay, so I want to thank everyone for participating in today's telebriefing. You'll see the MMWR, our four-page fact sheet, and the press release. And the bottom line here is that heart disease and stroke are leading causes of death, disability, and healthcare spending in this country. And it's possible to greatly reduce the number of people with high blood pressure by reducing the amount of sodium in our diets. That's possible by building on the positive steps that have been taken by many parts of the restaurant and grocery industry to reduce sodium levels, to put choice into people's hands. 9 out of 10 Americans today consume too much sodium, and on average, more than twice as much as we are recommended to. And today's report identifies 10 top food types that are accounting for nearly half, 44% of the sodium that Americans consume. By adjusting what we eat, choosing lower sodium versions, increasing the amount of fruit and vegetables that we consume, we can substantially reduce sodium intake, save lives, and save money. Thank you all very much for participating.
Thank you, and this does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. At this time, you may disconnect your lines.